The Norwegian novelist Karl Ove Knausgård is this year's literary sensation, celebrated around the world for his 6-volume autobiographical novel titled My Struggle. In Norway, these books are so popular and so much discussed that some businesses have actually declared Knausgård-free days to give the few people who haven't read the books a bit of a break. Writers around the world have also jumped on the bandwagon, so what is all the fuss about? Steve Paulson recently caught up with Knausgård and asked him to read a passage from the 3rd volume, which has just come out in the U.S.
Any memory of my first 6 years is virtually non-existent. I remember hardly anything. I have no idea who took care of me, what I did, who I played with. It has all completely gone. However, there are other kinds of memories associated with the body. When you do something you used to do, shield your eyes from the sun with your arm, catch a ball, run across a meadow with a kite in your hand and a children's hand on your heels. There are memories that accompany emotions, sudden anger, sudden tears, sudden fear, as if hurtled back inside yourself. In my mind, I have only to open the door and go outside for the images to come streaming toward me.
That is wonderful. And thank you for reading in not your native language. I mean, that must be difficult.
That's really a challenge, but it's, you know.
Karl Ove, a lot of writers and critics are saying that you've done something entirely original in modern literature. You've completely immersed your readers into your life, your own experiences. It's as if you've stripped away all the usual literary conventions and pointed a camera at various episodes of your life. Is that a fair description of what you've tried to do?
I'm the last one to comment on my writing, but obviously it is doing something very different from my other books, at least. What I wanted to do when I wrote this book was to try to escape from almost prison-like state literature can be and kind of break free and try to get closer to life.
So you did not want your book to feel literary. You wanted it to feel real rather than artful.
That's right. I had an experience with creative writing course. I went for 1 year when I was 19. And there was a lot of rules. And I completely adapted those rules in my writing. And for the next 7-8 years, I couldn't really write. I could construct sentences and construct stories, but I couldn't write. So there was no connection between my inner self and the pen and you know, the letters on the page. So my first discovery was that what happened if you try to go to the extreme and just pour in everything you know about the subject, no subtext whatsoever, what happens? So what I did, I didn't take anything out. At least in Scandinavia at that time, was that if it's bad, you take it away. But what you get then is a kind of it's all about precision and it's all about perfection. And my writing wasn't about perfection at all. I realized that, and that was a relief for me.
So if you were not trying, if you were not aiming for perfection, what were you trying to get?
Complexity, I think. Different levels of life and movement and rhythm. That's basically it.
Hmm. Now, the other thing that I've read about how you wrote these, I mean, it's really kind of extraordinary. You wrote really fast.
Yeah, I did.
How many pages would you write in a day?
My first rule was 5 pages a day, which was necessary for me because if I was going to pick up the children to kindergarten at, let's say, 4, and I had only written 1 page by 3. I had to write 4 pages in that hour because that rule was absolute.
Hmm. And it's worth pointing out that, I mean, you had young kids at the time, and I mean, you were the main caretaker, right? I mean, so you were writing this novel while you were looking after your kids.
Yeah, that's right. And then that 5 pages became 10. And in my 5th book, it was almost like 20 pages a day.
20 pages a day? I mean, that's phenomenal for a novelist to write 20 pages a day.
Yeah, I mean, that was not the average, but it was something like that.
And would you go back and do much editing then of what you had written?
No, that was part of, you know, the project as well. There's hardly no editing in it. If I went in the wrong direction, I just took it out and started again and went in another direction.
So it's almost it's almost as if you're saying that if you go back and polish it, it would undermine what you're trying to do in these books. It's almost as if you're accepting that there would be a certain amount of bad writing in there, but that's maybe partly the point?
No, that's not the point, but that's the consequence of, you know, doing this. And that was very difficult for me to deal with. The fact that the big parts in there which are really naive, really conventional, really not good. But I do that because I realize there is something else coming from it. It's a certain openness towards the world and myself.
Now, the figure who looms over this six-volume autobiographical novel that you've written, who's shaped your life in many ways, was your father. How would you describe him?
I have written a lot about him, and he's, you know, the major character in the book, basically, I think. Even when he's not there, he's present. What the book is about is he changing. When I see him from the perspective of an eight-year-old, he's, I will say, very unpredictable, very angry, very scary. And then he changed completely when he's 40. He starts to drink. He leaves his family. He tried to break free, I think, and he became much kinder and changes kind of dramatically. And then he became an addict. He's addicted to alcohol. And then he dies in the end. When I was a kid, I was afraid of him.
Afraid because he would yell at you or he would beat you? Afraid in what way?
He would yell at me and he would be terrorizing me in, you know, psychological ways. And he did beat me as well, but that was not often. And that's not a problem for me. I mean, everybody I knew was beaten by their fathers if they did something wrong, and that's okay. But it was the unpredictability that was the problem, because you never know. I was afraid of him during my whole childhood. But when I became 40 myself and I started to write this book, I, for the first time in my life, I managed to identify with him, or to realize that he was like me in a way, you know, a human being with feelings. Never occurred to me before that he could have feelings.
Was this a cathartic process? Did it help? I mean, your father is no longer alive, but did it help to deal with all that he's meant to you by writing about him?
Yeah, in a way it did. But that was, you know, not my aim, to gain a catharsis. I feel like there is something wrong with me. There is something broken, you know. That's a constant feeling I have. And I don't know why that is. And writing in itself is good. It's a good thing to do. And it feels like that's healing in just writing. And then when I stop writing, it's back to the normal bad state of mind.
What do you think is broken in you?
I have no self-belief whatsoever. And I feel worthless. I basically are an idiot. And all those rejections, when I became a teenager, I took care of the rejections myself. Because I couldn't have any friends because I thought they would, you know, dislike me or, you know. So then I just rejected them. And I have done that ever since.
Do you still have those feelings that you were worthless?
I
have to say, kind of astonishing to hear you say this. I mean, you have written a book that is the literary sensation around the world. I mean, it's this huge bestseller.
Yeah, but I can't relate to that. And that's a problem, you know, because if you have these feelings inside and then someone else is saying the opposite, I can't integrate it in myself, you know.
You also go into extraordinary detail about not only your father, but various family relationships, including your first marriage and then your second marriage. I mean, you write in great detail about your marriage with your wife. What did she think about all of this?
She is a writer herself. So when I told her what I was doing, she said, "You can do it, you can write about me, but please don't make me a bore." That was what she was afraid of. You have to go all the way. But then I gave the novel to her. That is the second novel before it was published. And she read it during a train trip. So she called me 3 times during that trip. And it was a kind of a progression in her reading and emotions, I think. It started out with she accepting it. I don't like it, but it's, you know, it's okay. And ending with her just crying. And when she got home, she said, "We need to talk." And she didn't want to talk about the novel at all. She said, you can publish it, no problem with it, don't have to change anything, but we need to talk about our relationship. You know?
So we had to talk about our marriage.
Yeah, that's right. And that was what we did for 3 days. You know, that kind of situation where you talk day and night and the crisis, yeah. And it became better after that.
Well, and then
we're still married. She's a very brave woman.
Yeah. Well, I've also heard that your father's family has been furious. And in fact, they tried to stop these books from being published. They threatened to sue you. They said you lied about him, about your grandmother. Did you expect that kind of reaction?
No, I didn't. That was stupid of me not to expect it. I should have known. It was a very difficult situation because the only way I could make a solution was, you know, not to publish my novel. They don't want anything to be exposed from the family, and I am exposing everything. But this is really a matter of who's have the right to tell a story and who owns the story, you know. And this isn't a story about them, but it is a story about me and my father. And if you can't write about your father, what can you write about?
Do you have any contact with your father's side of the family now?
No, I don't. They don't want to have any contact with me for the rest of my life. Yeah, this is for real. So, yeah. And I did this, and I did a bad thing for them, a very bad thing for them. And it's immoral. It's immoral in a way.
Well, it seems to me that you are raising really a profound, I don't know if it's a more ethical or more literary question. I mean, you're really suggesting that if you are truly serious about writing fiction or writing a memoir, the writing, being truthful, trumps family and marriage even.
Yeah, that's what I mean when it's immoral, because that is. And I have no problem with that, you know, as a general rule to say that literature is very important. I mean, I think it shapes the way we look upon life and ourselves. But that's in general, if you go, you know, to the specifics and this family, this person, it's not like that. You can't trump it like that. So what can you do? I mean, that's a dilemma. There's no solution to it.
Karl Ove Knausgård, talking with Steve Paulson about his 6-volume autobiographical novel, My Struggle.